Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. And today is the end of my second week talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. And I've been taking this teaching from a live Gospel Truth seminar that we did in Phoenix, Arizona over the New Year's weekend. And I tell you, this is a timely message for people. I think that if you have been listening, that this has really helped you. We've talked about how that we do live in a negative world, how that God has given us authority. In the last few days, I've been really emphasizing that the Word of God is given to give us this ability. And today is going to be my last day to offer the third teaching in this five-part set in this album that we've entitled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. We offer the album for a donation of any amount, either the CD or the DVD album. But some people could not or would not even send a donation and get it. And so we make each individual teaching available free of charge, one at a time. My partners have enabled me to make the Word available to you regardless of what your situation is. And today is my last day to offer you the third teaching in this five-part set. So be prepared at the end of the program today. Our announcer will come on and share with you about how you can receive these materials. And please be ready to copy down an address or a phone number and call or write and get these materials today. Now we'll go back into this live teaching from Phoenix, Arizona.
I remember when I was drafted and I went into the Army, and I could give you a lot of reasons for this, but boy, I was persecuted unmercilessly. They hated me. I had people. I would walk into the mess hall and sit down, and everybody at that table would leave because I had witnessed to them, and man, they didn't want to hear about it, and they treated me like the plague. I'd walk into the barracks and people would be talking, and I'd walk in and everybody, shh, and they'd all get quiet and they'd leave. And it was just pitiful. And I was feeling lonely and discouraged, and nobody liked me. And I remember I was fighting discouragement and everybody else. I was at Fort Dix, New Jersey, right underneath the Verrazano Narrow Bridge in New York. And everybody on weekend leave went to New York City and partied on their leave. And you know what I did? I just stayed in my barracks. I was the only person there, and I laid on my bunk and studied the Word for 8 hours. And after reading the Word for 8 hours, I could have run through a troop or leapt over a wall, is the way that David said it. Man, I was stronger than horseradish. I was praising God. I was excited. I mean, I was just fired up, and the only thing that happened was I just got in the Word and I began to start thinking about what God said instead of what people said, and I was out of it. I didn't have to take a pill. I took the gospel. I'm telling you, if you aren't in perfect peace, your mind hasn't been stayed upon God. Oh, but you don't know what's happened in my family. No, your mind hasn't been stayed upon God. You don't know what the banker has said. No, your mind isn't stayed on God. Jesus was in perfect peace, even hanging on the cross in extreme agony. He had love flowing through him and turned around and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God has given us that exact same power. There's no reason that we shouldn't be operating in this peace, but it's because we haven't been meditating in the Word day and night. You can't release something that you haven't received, and most of us haven't received the revelation. The world is making a bigger impact. It's having more influence on us than the gospel is because we aren't meditating in the Word day and night. This is the first day of 2010. You know what? You ought to, if you're the kind that make a New Year's resolution, you ought to make a New Year's resolution that this year you are going to get into the Word of God. You are going to read it from cover to cover. I couldn't even tell you how many Christians have never read the whole Bible, and yet they say they believe it and they hadn't even read it. One of the things that I do in my class in the Bible school is we make our students read the Bible. Novel thought. And I've had people come to our Bible school that have been through multiple seminaries and said they have never used the Bible as a book, as a textbook. They used all of these other things, and many of them have never read the Bible. I would say probably the majority of the people who come to our Bible school have never read the Bible through cover to cover. That's a shame. And every time I'll have somebody say, well, you're legalistic. You're telling me, I said, look, you can call it whatever you want to, but if you go to our Bible school, you are at least going to read the Bible before you graduate. Say what you want to, call me legalistic, but if you go to a Bible school, you ought to at least read the Bible. All you got to do is read 3 chapters in the Old Testament and 1 chapter in the New Testament every day, and you will read the Bible through once and the New Testament through twice in 1 year. That's how simple it is. There's nothing hard to that. You need to know what's in the Word of God. And I know somebody, well, I don't have time for that. Just turn off the television for 20 minutes a day. You could live without it. I guarantee you, any person in here could read the Bible through in 1 year. I've read it through hundreds of times. And I was telling, I think it was David just the other day, that I am getting more out of the Word of God. It is more alive to me. I'm getting more fresh revelation from the Word of God than I have ever had in my life. And I have been studying it day and night for 41 years. And it is still alive. I am going to scriptures that I have preached on. I have written commentary on it. I've studied those scriptures hundreds and hundreds of times, and I'm seeing brand new things out of it. This is a living word. You can't ever get all of this. Your little peanut brain can never get everything that's in the Word of God. You can study it every day from now until the rest of your life, and you'll still be getting new things out of it. If anybody feels that you've got the Word figured out and that you don't need to read it anymore, that just shows how little you know. The more you know of the Word of God, the more it comes alive, the more you'll recognize that, man, I need the Word of God. I need to understand this. One of the things that I consider to be the greatest compliment, I had somebody do it this week, come up and say, man, since I've been listening to you, the Word of God has come alive to me. I love the Word of God. They are so excited about it. Man, I love that. Because if you love the Word, if you can get in and feed yourself, you will move beyond the place where you just have to have somebody else do everything for you. But you can start feeding yourself and you can start being one of the ones that blesses other people. Amen. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I know I'm speaking to people in here that the Word of God is not preeminent in your life. And yet you're desiring all of the results that come from sowing this incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and yet you aren't sowing the seed. That's just as foolish as a person who wants a harvest and never plants the seed, who wants a child and yet never has a relationship with a man. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have a surrogate birth. You're going to have somebody else conceive your seed for you and then let you raise it. That's not the way that God wants it to be. God wants every one of you to be able to receive. You know, let me just say, I was trying to get over to Matthew chapter 11. Let me just summarize this very quickly and I'll quit because I spent a lot of time getting there. But in Matthew chapter 11 is an instance where John the Baptist was discouraged. He had been in prison, and it doesn't say in Scripture how long he's been there. I've tried to quantify this many times and I just haven't been able to figure out. But it's at least 6 months he had been in prison. He could have been in prison over a year. And here is this guy who is a fireball, who came on the scene, and he was so powerful, so anointed, so radical that in 6 months' time, he caused one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world. It said not only the Jews, but Idumea and all of the nations round about were prepared and ready for the Lord. And if you read the prophecies in Malachi, it says that I'll send you Elijah before the day that the Lord comes to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. It's implying that if John the Baptist hadn't have prepared the way, it had made people receptive to the gospel, that possibly if things would have gone differently, Jesus might have come and brought a curse to the earth. People would have rejected him. But it was John the Baptist's ministry that prepared the soil and made the people ready so that Jesus could come and fulfill what God wanted to do. It was critical. He was very, very important. And this man, in 6 months' period of time, turned multiple nations to the Lord. And then he got arrested by Herod and put in prison. And after either 6 months or whatever period of time in prison, in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, he sends two of his disciples to Jesus and he says, "Are you the Messiah, or should we look for another?" Now, to understand how important that was, this man was the only person in Scripture who was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in his mother's womb. And so he was filled with the Holy Spirit, separated. He didn't go through a normal childhood. He didn't go through school. He didn't have girlfriends. He didn't have playmates and things like this. He didn't even grow up with his parents. He was out in the desert, raised by the Essenes, a very strict group that wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. And this man's entire life was devoted to God. He had no other interest, no other purpose, no family. He gave himself completely to God, and then the Lord had given him a sign. He says, "Upon whom you see the Holy Spirit descending in a physical form, that's the one that's the Christ." And he saw the Holy Spirit come down on Jesus, and he proclaimed him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and took all of the people who had come to John and sent them after Jesus. And that was his only purpose in life. And here he is after being locked up in prison saying, "Did I miss it? Did I take this anointing that's on my life?" The only person in history who had ever been filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. This critical issue of preparing the way for the Lord. Did I blow it? Did I announce the wrong person? Are you the Christ? That's terrible. And it shows us a number of things. One of them is, if John the Baptist could doubt, any of us can doubt. There is a part of us that is completely human. And if you get over into your human flesh, I don't care who you are, all of us are capable of doubt and of fear and of being discouraged. But how did Jesus respond to him? You have to compare Luke chapter 7, where it lists this same story, with Matthew chapter 11, because each one of them gives a little bit different. But if you put them together, it says that when they came and asked Jesus this question, "Are you the Christ?" He ignored them for about an hour. He didn't even answer their question. And he just went around and started healing people. And he saw blind eyes open and deaf ears open and the lame walk. And he saw a person raised from the dead. And then he turned around after an hour. And he says, "Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. And blessed is he who's not offended in me." And after, it says in Luke chapter 7, after they departed, after John's messengers were gone, then Jesus said, "What did you go out into the desert to see? Was it a man, you know, who's dressed in fine clothing?" That wasn't John. It wasn't his attire that drew people out into the desert. He says, "What did you go out to see? People that are arrayed in all this fine apparel? Was it the reeds shaking in the wind?" He was saying these things sarcastically. Those things had been out there for hundreds and thousands of years. He says, "What was it that you went out there to see?" He says, "Was it a prophet?" He says, "It's more than a prophet. I say unto you that among those who've been born of women, there has never been a greater than John the Baptist." Well, what a powerful thing for Jesus to say about a man. That makes John the Baptist greater than Moses, Elijah, David. What a powerful thing. You know, if I was discouraged, and if I sent to somebody who was the greatest spiritual leader of the day and said, "Could you help me? I'm discouraged." If they started saying really nice things about me, about "You're the most anointed person," and all of these things, you know what? Most of us would think, "Oh man, this is great." And that'd just bring you out of your depression. Jesus didn't say any of those complimentary things while John's disciples were there. He waited until they were gone before he said it. And I wondered for years about, "Jesus, why did you do this?" John was Jesus' cousin. John drew the crowds. John prepared the way. And Jesus, it shows you what he thought about him. He was the greatest man that had ever been born on the earth. Why didn't Jesus say these complimentary things to John? And I wondered about that for years. And then I was reading in Isaiah chapter 35. I won't take time to turn over there and read it. But it was scriptures that John was familiar with. He quoted from those exact passages of scripture when he's quoted from Isaiah 40 about, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." So he was familiar with these scriptures. And in Isaiah chapter 35, it says that when the Messiah comes, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing, and streams shall break out in the desert. And you know what? The Holy Spirit just quickened that to me. And I went back over to Matthew chapter 11. And you know what happened? When John was in doubt, when he was struggling with discouragement, which is what I'm talking about, how to be strong and courageous instead of being afraid and dismayed. When John was dealing with doubt, you know how Jesus dealt with it? He fulfilled the word. The word said that when he came, he would open the eyes of the blind. So Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man. It said that the lame would walk, so he healed somebody who was lame. It said the dumb would talk, so he healed somebody who couldn't talk. And he just threw in and raised somebody from the dead, more than what was prophesied. Just so that there would be no mistake that this just accidentally happened. In 1 hour's period of time, he fulfilled everything that was written about the Messiah, what he would do. And he says, go back and tell John what you've seen. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised. You know what he did? He pointed John to the word to deal with his doubt and with his discouragement. That's what I've been trying to do for you tonight, is to tell you that if you want to be strong and victorious in a negative situation, you are going to have to be in the Word. And the Scripture doesn't tell us what the results was, but my personal opinion is I believe John probably had to ponder this for a while about, what does this mean? The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. What does that mean? And then I believe the Holy Spirit quickened to him Isaiah 35, and he realized he fulfilled everything that was prophesied. The Word says he is the one. Who else could do all of this? And God referred him back to the Word, and it's my personal opinion that John received it, and John went out with a shout. He was beheaded by Herod, but you know what? I believe that he was at total peace saying, God, you are, Jesus is truly the Messiah because he fulfilled the Word. And you know, I believe that God referred him back to the Word, not because he thought less of him, but because he thought so much of him. He was the greatest man that had ever lived up until that time. And God honored him so much, he wouldn't come down and just touch him in an emotional, feel-good way. He wanted him to go back to the Word of God because it's the Word of God that is your foundation. It's the Word of God that's going to make you strong. Most of us today, we have become such an emotional, sensual society that it's all about how we feel. I have people come up all the time and I say, what's wrong with you? And they say, I don't know. I'm just depressed. And I say, so what happened? Well, I don't have anything. Everything's fine, but I'm depressed. They don't even have a reason for it. I just feel this way. Don't even get me started on that. Man, that's carnal. That's carnal. Oh, but I feel this. Well, who cares how you feel? Feelings aren't God. There's times that I pray for people and I don't feel a thing. But praise God, I've learned enough not to go by how I feel. I go by what the Word says. David Hardesty and I went up and prayed for a woman one time who was in a wheelchair. And I mean, she was just moments away from death with cancer. She had only listened to me for 1 week on the television. And her family brought her, and she was hurting so bad, she was doped up. She couldn't even talk to me. She was going in and out of consciousness. And I tried to encourage everybody, but I only had a few moments. They hadn't listened to me enough. They thought God was the one that was making her sick, and there were just a million things wrong. And so I went ahead and just prayed for her. And you know what I felt? I felt like she hadn't got a chance. Too little, too late. But at least I've learned enough not to speak my doubts. And so I just prayed, and I didn't undo my prayer by going out. I started to tell David, I said, this woman will probably die. But I thought, I'm not going to say that. I just prayed that she'd be well. So I'm not going to speak my doubts. And I didn't say a thing. And, you know, it was only 3 months later, and she came to another meeting of mine in Houston and ran and jumped up on the platform and says, "Do you remember me?" And I mean, I didn't even recognize her. The woman was just totally set free. You know what? I had those feelings, but I don't speak what I feel. I went ahead and prayed, and even though I felt zero faith, I felt nothing. I felt like she was going to die. She got healed anyway because I did what the Word of God said. Who cares how you feel? Well, I don't feel like reading the Bible. Forget it. Just read it anyway. There's times that I don't feel like it. There's times that my mind wanders. And I have actually read chapters out of the Bible before. And if you would have asked me, "What did you just read?" I couldn't have even told you what chapter it was. I couldn't have told you what book of the Bible it was. You know what I do when something like that happens? I read it again. And if I don't remember the second time, I'll read it until eventually I figure that if I'm going to, you know, this is silly to be reading something and not having your mind on it. And eventually I just force myself to focus on it. I've had people come up, "Well, I just don't like reading before." Well, go ahead and do it anyway. Who cares whether you like it or not? "Well, I don't feel like reading." Who cares? What you feel like isn't important. I'm telling you, this is absolute. This is absolute. The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. If you want the harvest that the Word is going to produce, plant the seed. If you don't plant the seed, don't be discouraged or question about why it isn't working. This is really simple. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it works. If you're going to want victory in your life, if you want something that's abnormal, supernatural, if you want victory in your life, you're going to have to take the Word of God and get to where you know the Word of God frontwards and backwards. It takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of effort. And some of you say, "Well, I don't want to wait a year or 2 years. I want something right now." You know what? That's one of the reasons that you aren't experiencing victory. It's because you aren't patient. You haven't taken the Word. It takes patience to put a seed in the ground, and you have to sleep and rise night and day and just trust that it's going to work. You may not like this, but it works for you. Once you sow a seed, did you know that seed grows up and produces, and then it produces seeds, and those seeds go in the ground, and after a while, you got so much harvest out there that you could never eat it all. You have to start selling it and getting the money off of it and stuff because you can't harvest it enough. Once you get into the Word, it is a process, but once it gets going, this it'll just keep bearing fruit. The things that I meditated on 40 years ago are still producing in my life today. It's working. I've now got momentum going for me because I've been meditating in the Word. I don't know how long it's going to take you, but I can tell you this, you can't get there any quicker than to start tonight. If it takes a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or whatever it takes for you to get to where the Word of God is dominant in your life, you can't get there any quicker than starting right now. You need to make a decision that, praise God, I am going to not let this book of the law depart out of my mouth. I'm going to meditate in it day and night. I'm going to observe what it says, and I will make my way prosperous, and I will have good success. And I guarantee you, if you make that decision and follow through on that decision, you'll never regret it.
Join us again next week as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the How to Stay Positive in a Negative World series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God wants you well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening.
How good it is to give thanks unto the Lord.
Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
To give thanks.
A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.